Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. The Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. There is a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. There is a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence. And a time to speak. There is a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, God has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. But I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. I got my hair cut. It was time. I have my next 3 hair appointments booked because I pretty much know when it's time. Last Sunday, I had all 3 of my sons together in the house in which they grew up. First time in a decade. I hadn't seen my youngest son, Paul, in person in almost 1.5 years. It was time. He and his fiancée left after being with us for about 5 days, and it wasn't quite time. They could have stayed longer, but we were getting there. Everything seems to have a time and a purpose. Thanks to the birds, some of us have been singing that wisdom for a very long time. It was my personal hero, Pete Seeger, who gave us the music. But it was Koheleth who gave us the words in a collection that we call the Book of Ecclesiastes. Wisdom that's about 2,500 years old, contained in the Hebrew Scriptures. Got your winter tires off yet? It's time. Starting to bring things into the garage sale? It's not time. Not yet. We don't have storage. We'll see at the beginning of May. That's when it'll be time. Sometimes you can plan, you know? Some you know in advance. Sometimes you're told this is the time. I was at a funeral recently, and as I was ready to leave, there was this one person who needed to talk. I didn't know that, but I suspected. And then 30 minutes later, I was so glad that I had recognized that it was a time to listen, a time to be present. See, the thing that I love about this reading from Ecclesiastes is that there are so many times listed, not just for birth and death, war and peace, but for talking and not talking, for tearing and sowing, for gathering things together, maybe garage sale, I don't know. And when I hear those words, you know, I stop thinking about the actual times being listed, and I simply get carried away by the number of them. And pretty soon, I begin to appreciate that God is with us in all times, all of our times. Mourning and dancing, keeping and throwing, buying and selling, building, releasing, hoping, retiring. Wait, are those all in there? No. But, yeah. Yes, all those times are in there. Everything has a time and a season. And we struggle when we try to stop time. You know, when we try to stop change from happening. It's difficult when we're not going with the flow, when we're holding on so tight and just creating museums that comfort us, but do little else. I love that this passage reminds us that we should be happy and take pleasure in our toil. You see, we are meant to both work and rest, strive and enjoy. And I appreciate that we are reminded that there is a great mystery in all of this. I quote, "God has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." Yeah. We feel the right times, but we don't always get it. Not in our heads. We're not exactly sure what God is doing, but we can feel that there is something going on. That fellow at the funeral, I had somewhere else to be. My head reminded me that I had done what I came to do. I had done it well. The family was cared for, the deceased was honored, and now it was time to get on to my next commitment. No rush, but it was time. I'd done what I had come to do. But in my heart, I knew that God was up to something. You know? There was just something that I needed to attend to. Some of us today are thinking about this being the sort of first worship service in which Jubilee members who were once Forest Grove members don't have the option of going to Forest Grove anymore. No, we're in this together. In-person worship is now all at Jubilee. And I'm really hoping that even as their heads, or your heads, might be wondering if it really is time, that your heart is saying, yes, it is time. God's up to something here. Stay, see, be part of it. Others who are not so concerned with amalgamation have other thoughts in their head. Did I need to come to church today? Is Jubilee really the right spot for me? Is it the right connection? Did I just tell my nephew that the Maple Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup? If your head is wondering, is this the right time? I really hope that your heart is saying, yeah, relax. God is up to something here. Stick around. As long as you didn't lock into the Leafs winning this year, for sure. So there was a group of Pharisees and scribes who were, they were not too impressed that Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners. They were grumbling. That's what it said in the gospel. Now, they don't seem to be having any kind of battle with Jesus. I mean, these people of faith, they just wish that Jesus was having lunch with them. Seems like, they would like Jesus to honor them with his presence. Perhaps they could feel the presence of God in him. Maybe they recognized the power of his words and they were in awe of his healing and his miracles. Maybe they actually do see God in him. And naturally, they want God to be eating with them, right? That seems fair. They're the religious officials. They're the holy ones. They follow all the rules. And it's a complete mystery to why God in Jesus would be with those who have strayed from the faith or never had the faith to begin with. That those people should be rewarded for their ignorance or their disobedience when these very faithful, obedient, and accomplished holy people aren't getting a look in. Come on. When my son used to visit, he would essentially sleep at our house. You know, he'd be out with all of his old friends all the time, hardly having any time for a meal or a conversation with us, you know, his parents, particularly his mother, who carried him in her body for 9 months and gave birth to him only to have him go visit all of his friends 35 years later. I seem to recall something like that being said. Did the Pharisees feel the same way? Did they feel like they had given birth to Jesus in a way? You know, Jesus comes from the faith and the tradition that they had protected so well. But now, apparently, he'd rather share it with his friends who have no idea what it's really about. Doesn't he owe something to the Pharisees? Or is it simply like when you see, you know, your best friend having lunch with your ex? Oh, God, no, how could you? Don't do that! That kind of thing. So Jesus tells them a couple of little parables. One's about lost sheep, right? The shepherd has 99 under watch, contained, protected, but one has wandered away. Unprotected, vulnerable. Vulnerable to wolves or your ex, whatever it is that Pharisees fear most. And Jesus asks them, well, wouldn't you, if you were a shepherd, go and look for the missing one? Save them from being hurt? Taken advantage of? Well, these are all good, faithful leaders. Not happy about Jesus snubbing them, but they're faithful leaders, so of course they'd go looking for the lost sheep. Yeah. And then Jesus follows up with the story of a woman who has 10 silver coins. She's rich. Pharisees and scribes, they understand rich. They're probably pretty comfortable themselves, and of course they spend a lot of time around the rich, keeping them sorted with God and making sure that the widow and orphans fund doesn't run dry. So they get this. They understand this woman with 10 coins. And then she loses a coin. Now, she's still pretty rich with 9 silver coins. But she's still going to look for that lost coin, isn't she? I mean, the Pharisees, thinking pretty clearly about earthly matters, recognized that, well, yeah, of course she would. And I'd like to think at that moment they all nodded and understood that Jesus was out looking for lost sheep, you know, those who had wandered away, and also others who didn't wander away, but through no fault of their own have become separated from God, right? Because coins, unlike sheep, they can't wander away. They can't do anything. They simply get pushed aside or lost by, well, circumstance. It's a good message. I found that it preaches extremely well. But if the Pharisees stop learning there, I'm afraid that they've missed the most important part. How about you? Do you get the most important part? The woman, upon finding her coin, she invites her friends and she throws a party to celebrate. Pretty impromptu, I'd bet. Probably not a fancy dress party. Also, probably not a potluck, right? There's food and drink to be purchased. Maybe a band or a clown that does close-up magic. I don't know. But there are going to be costs to having this party. And pretty soon, that silver coin that was found is being spent. Foolishly, when you think about it. The shepherd, well, he finds his lost sheep. It says in the text, he puts it up on his shoulders. And he brings it home. Calls his friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I found the sheep that I'd lost." Another party. And you know what goes great at a party? Especially if you have a little mint jelly lying around. Lamb on a spit. The shepherd is not keeping the sheep for pets. They are wool and they are mutton. And if you're having a party, they are spring lamb. The coin is found and spent. The sheep is found and eaten. That's what they were created for, spending and being consumed. Now, you don't have to hear the parables as I hear them. The Pharisees may not hear them as I hear them, but I think we could probably agree that we all have a time and purpose under heaven. We are meant for more than rest. God created us that we might be spent in love. You see, the Pharisees, it seems they've forgotten that. After all the good work that they've done, they want to eat and drink and be honored by Jesus' presence, right? They feel that they deserve it. And Ecclesiastes assures us that it's God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I wouldn't take that away from them for a moment. But there is a time to relax, and a time to eat, and a time to laugh, and a time to rest. But they aren't the only times. And as we open ourselves up to God's presence in the world, we find that we are called into times when we are meant to fulfill our true purpose. We are meant to be spent on love. Love our neighbors. Love creation. Love God. Love ourselves. Actively. It doesn't have to all be hard work. We can sit at this table filled with food and wish that Jesus would come and sit with us, you know, the cool kids. Or we can get up from this place that we've created for our own comfort and we can open the doors. We can love our neighbors. We can invite them to the table. We can reach out to those who are sitting alone, those who are feeling left out. We can reach out to those who never seem to be invited to the table. We connect with those who never seem to have enough to put on their table. And we can carefully, slowly bring people to the table who have never sat together at all. Because amazing things happen when you sit together at a table. We can realize that this table, this faith, is not simply about us, our comfort, having Jesus visit with us. No, it's about helping us to love our neighbors. To our friends who have come from Forest Grove United Church to be part of Jubilee, and to our friends who remember fondly that they come from Irondale and Wexford and St. John's and Bethesda and Donminster and Victoria Village, to our friends who come to be part of Jubilee through digital means, to those who didn't come from anywhere in particular, just thought to see what's going on over there. We are a community together, but not for our own comfort and our desire to bask in the presence of Jesus at our table, but rather to share the many ways that we experience God and Jesus in the world. To find a vocabulary to communicate what we feel and what we know. To learn from each other and support one another as we live our lives. But also to be equipped to love our neighbors and bring hope and promise to the world. That's what we were made for. That's how we're meant to spend ourselves and our time, engaging with one another. Running a garage sale that benefits everyone. Starting a conversation with a stranger. Supporting a family of refugees. Daring to hope when everyone at that table wants to be angry or cynical. That's what we're meant to do. So let us together embrace this wisdom of Ecclesiastes, acknowledging that everything has its time and season, including moments for speaking and listening, gathering and letting go. And let us embrace the mystery of God's presence in every moment, even when we can't comprehend it fully. And let us spend our time and our lives doing what we are meant to do, loving each other and loving the world. Let's do that together. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
God of all times and places, we come to you in prayer. We give thanks for our best times, times of laughter and comfort, the feelings of joy and accomplishment. We give thanks for spring that is emerging all around us, for the rain that will help our crops grow and sustain life all around us. We thank you for the coming together of people, in amalgamation, in union, in friendship, over coffee. We revel in the sharing of perspectives and the hope that comes when we open our doors and let down our walls. We pray in such gratitude, it almost seems larger than life. But God, not all of our times are times of joy. Sometimes we are anxious and we are hurting. We cannot sleep. Too often we are afraid. When wars make us wary of speaking to our neighbors, when politics divide instead of unite, when rising prices take the life that we have known just out of reach. These are hard times, God. We pray for those who will be at food banks this week, for those who will spend the last of their savings on rent. We pray for those who find themselves under the weight of the world and don't know how they got there or how they will be released. Loving God, make your presence known in the hard times. Show us how to show up for those who are struggling and how to let in those who would help us. God, we give thanks for dreams and we pray that we might see them through. Silly dreams and big dreams. A Stanley Cup, a first step on the road to recovery. An opportunity thought to be lost, a community beginning anew with hopes and plans to change lives. Big or small, God, be with us in our dreams. And God, we may not always understand, but please help us to enjoy not just our rest, but also our toil, our calling to love one another. Let us find a way in every time and every place to see you in the world. And to follow, daring to love as Jesus loves, fully and without reservation.
We pray in his name as we say.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Go forth from this moment and out into the world. And whatever time it may be for the world, whatever time it may be for you, know that God is with you in this time. God is with you in all times. And in every time and place, there is a way for you to spend your time, to spend yourself in love. So love the world as best you can and know that God is with you. Love yourself the best way you know how, and know that Jesus is walking with you. And dare to love in ways that you have never loved before, and know that the Holy Spirit is with you, making all these things possible. Until we gather again, in person or digitally, Amen.